In association with For Whom, thecowbelltolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site, this is For Whom, the podcast tolls. And now, Daniel Black and Ethan Lee.
Hey there, folks, and welcome to another episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls here on March 15th, 2016. This is the official podcast for Whom the Cowbell Tolls.com, Mississippi State's SB Nation site. I'm Daniel Black, writer for From the Cowbell Tolls, and joining me is not Ethan Lee. No one is joining me today. Ethan is feeling ill, so I hope he feels better. And it's just me today. So today on the show, we're going to talk about a lot of things. Mississippi State basketball ended their season with a 79-69 loss to Georgia in the SEC tournament in Nashville. We'll talk about that. Mississippi State baseball with a very, very, very impressive sweep of number nine Oregon. We'll talk about that. Mississippi State baseball is about to play Oral Roberts in Eastern Kentucky on a Tuesday-Wednesday midweek games against Eastern Kentucky and Oral Roberts. We'll preview those. Let's go ahead and get the bad news out of the way first and talk about basketball. Mississippi State, a 79-69 loss to Georgia in the SEC tournament. I personally thought that when Mississippi State defeated Auburn, I thought that it was a lock that we were going to play Ole Miss. And I was a bit excited to play Ole Miss because I thought that was the best matchup in terms of possible opponents that Mississippi State could get. When we got Georgia, I remembered back to that first game we played against them, a game where we just really couldn't do anything offensively, and they pretty much just dominated us because of our lack of physicality. And that's pretty much exactly what happened here. Georgia is a much more physical team. When you have a physical opponent like Georgia matched up against a team that has such a lack of depth like Mississippi State, it's not going to be a good matchup at all for the team that has the lack of depth. And particularly down low, you see Georgia a lot more physical down low. Yonte Motton, their star forward, Yonte Maton, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. You see a performance that he gets of 20 points, 8 rebounds. And you see Gavin Ware absolutely shut down. I feel pretty bad for him knowing that this is his final game as a Mississippi State Bulldog and he's only able to put together 2 points. But Georgia, much more physical team in this game, particularly down low. Another problem for Mississippi State was that there wasn't any production from our stars. I mentioned Gavin Ware only putting together 2 points. Quindary Weatherspoon, who's sort of become the man on this team, the face of this basketball team ever since that Vanderbilt game, only 4 points for Quindary Weatherspoon, and another poor performance for Malik Newman with 7 points. And on Malik Newman, he said that he's going to make his decision pretty soon. I don't know. Well, I don't actually know when he's going to make his decision or whether he's going to the NBA or not, but I'm really not sure if he will or not. If I would have to guess, I'll say he sticks around for another year, but just a very poor year, very underwhelming year from Malik Newman. Another big, the most frustrating thing about this game is that it was very similar to the beginning of the year, beginning of SEC play. Sort of this continuing theme of resiliency coming back but not able to finish, and that was as evident as it's been all year in this one. Mississippi State down by double digits, 13 at one point, cutting it down to 4. And started making defensive stops. They cut it down to 72-68, started making defensive stops, and then just couldn't take advantage down on the other end on offensively. You see a missed wide open three by Quindary Weatherspoon, a couple of turnovers. It was very frustrating that we just weren't able to put together those offensive performances that we really needed to win the basketball game towards the end. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have for basketball. I don't really want to talk about basketball that much. The end of the year is here. But yeah, a 79-69 loss for Mississippi State. And the one thing to look forward to about basketball is that, you know, this is the end of truly bad basketball at Mississippi State. This is the end. A new day is arriving. It's time to get excited about basketball, and we'll get into basketball as it gets closer. to the season. I just didn't really want to talk much about basketball. I just wanted to get into the great baseball series that happened over the weekend. A 3-game sweep of the Oregon Ducks. First of all, I was shocked. Absolutely shocked. Ethan and I, on this show, on this past Thursday, both predicted a Mississippi State to get swept. We thought that Oregon's pitching... Because, I mean, on paper, Oregon... Aaron Fitz said it, that Oregon probably has the best staff in the country, the best pitching, best starting rotation in the country. And I looked at their stats, and it really showed... Absolutely. It just proved his point. And we both thought that since Mississippi State's been so inconsistent at the plate, that Oregon was going to be able to just we weren't going to be able to hit against them. And the complete opposite happened. But first, I'll just talk a little bit about each game individually. Game 1, a 10-4 win for Mississippi State. Probably the most exciting game of the weekend. Mississippi State, another fantastic performance from Dakota Hudson starting out. Dakota Hudson, 5 2/3 innings pitched, giving up 2 runs, 4 hits, and struck out 9. A shaky start for Dakota Hudson, giving up 2 runs in the first inning, but that seems to be the norm now for Dakota Hudson. You see him struggling early against FAU and able to rebound, struggling early against UCLA and able to rebound, and now struggling early against Oregon and really was able to rebound. But another terrific performance by Dakota Hudson. The bullpen, it scared me. The bullpen definitely kept things interesting, kept Oregon in the game. Zach Houston, Ethan Small, or Zach Houston and Blake Smith, both with pretty mediocre performances for Mississippi State out of the bullpen, but another great performance by Vance Tatum in Game 1. Let me pull up his stats really quickly. I did not write them down. Apologies for this. Vance Tatum, 2 innings pitched, giving up no hits, no runs, didn't walk any, and struck out 2. So that's Vance Tatum's first save of the season, and he really pitched well in that Game 1. And against Oregon's ace, Cole Irvin, one of the better pitchers in the country, I believe. I don't remember the exact number, but he was in the top 5, I believe, in strikeouts individually in the country. I had like a 0.8-something ERA coming in. The bats won the game in this game for Mississippi State. 2 home runs, 13 hits. 13 hits for Mississippi State. 13 hits for the Bulldogs compared to 4 for Oregon. We see Cole Irvin, the starter I mentioned, their lockdown ace, giving up 5 runs, 9 hits, and striking out only 2. Absolutely brilliant performance from the bats in this one. Really good performances. Brent Rooker, pretty disappointing for his previous games, but he still had a good performance, 1-for-4 with an RBI and a run. Gavin Collins, a fantastic performance, 2-for-4, 1 RBI, scoring 2 runs and getting that RBI double in the third inning to tie the game at 2-2. Ryan Gridley, 2-for-4. Scoring 2 runs. He had a fantastic weekend. So that's game one, a 10-4 win for Mississippi State. Obviously, the biggest thing in that game was the grand slam in the 8th inning by Cody Brown. Mississippi State was up 6-2. Oregon made things interesting, scoring 2 runs, and I believe the 7th in the top of the 8th inning, scoring 1 run in the 7th, scoring 1 run in the 8th, making things interesting, 6-4. And then Cody Brown pretty much just ended the game for Mississippi State. If I'm remembering, actually, I'm getting a lot of things wrong. 5-4 game before Jake Mangum had an RBI double, and then after a couple of batters went through, Cody Brown got the grand slam in the 8th inning, his first ever grand slam in his life, giving Mississippi State the 10-4 lead, which pretty much busted the game open and pretty much sealed the win for Mississippi State. Game 2, arguably the best performance of Austin Sexton's career on the mound. Six innings pitched, giving up zero runs, only giving up four hits and striking out 12. Terrific performance from Austin Sexton in a 9-3 win for Mississippi State. Once again, bullpen was a bit scary. Ethan Small with a pretty poor performance. Jacob Billingsley with a meh performance, only pitching two-thirds innings, striking out one. Didn't really have much of an opportunity to show himself, but overall not great. Paul Young with a very poor performance, but then Cale Brough came in, saved the day, pitching the ninth inning. This is a game, unlike the first game, where pitching pretty much won the game for the Bulldogs in game two. It wasn't a bad day hitting. Still, four runs scored for the Bulldogs off of the bats, but a majority of Mississippi State's runs came in the first inning off of nothing but walks and just an overall a poor performance from starter Matt Crook. I mean, I feel sorry for him. Two-thirds innings pitched, giving up two hits, five runs, all of which from walks. Just painful for Matt Crook. Big for Mississippi State, getting a 5-0 lead after the first inning. But once again, this is a game that was won by pitching. Only giving up three runs there and pretty much leading the way for Mississippi State's 9-3 victory. And in game three, a 5-2 win. A really good performance by Daniel Brown. I mean, it was just an absolutely terrific performance for our starting rotation of Hudson Sexton and Brown. Daniel Brown pitching seven innings, giving up zero runs, striking out four. So, an absolutely really good performance by Daniel Brown. John Cohen said that he had a good performance, but it wasn't his best that he's seen, which, knowing Daniel Brown's performance on Sunday, we can only imagine what John Cohen talks about when he says his best pitching performances. After Daniel Brown came in, Vance Tatum with a pretty weak performance, one inning pitched, giving up two hits and two runs, striking out only one. But then Reed Humphreys coming in, saving the day, getting his second save of the year, pitching one inning, no strikeouts, but just able to get the job done in the first inning, a three-up, three-down inning for Humphreys. So, hitting-wise, it was another good hitting performance. Five runs from nine hits for the Bulldogs. Good performances from Jacob Robson, 2-for-4, 1 RBI, 2 runs scored. Another really good performance in this game from Brent Rooker, 3-for-4, 2 RBIs, 2 runs, including a 2-run shot to give Mississippi State a 5-2 lead over, or a 5-0 lead over Oregon. Jack Kruger with a pretty poor performance. Reed Humphreys on the plate, pretty good. 1-for-2, 2 RBIs. And another good performance from Ryan Gridley, going 2-for-3 with 1 run scored. So it was a very this is a weekend for Mississippi State where the Bulldogs had it all. There really wasn't one truly dominant side of the game for Mississippi State. It was really good pitching from the starting rotation and really good hitting, scoring 24 runs and giving up only 9 this weekend, scoring an average of 8 runs per game and giving up only 3 runs per game. Once again, absolutely fantastic weekend. I was shocked. You know, I'll tell you, I thought that getting 2 out of 3 games would prove that, hey, this team's pretty good. Sweeping them just brings it up to that next level, and this weekend truly shows, excuse me, that this team has hosting and or has the potential to host and or make a trip to Omaha. This team has that kind of potential, and they showed it this weekend. And I'm not going to guarantee that this team will host or go to Omaha. I think this team is a pretty good team. We just need to keep it up. We have two quality opponents in Eastern Kentucky and Oral Roberts that I'll talk about coming into town on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then the weekend ahead at Vanderbilt, the defending national runner-up and before that national champion. Ethan should be back to talk about that weekend on Thursday's show. But it's going to be a tough stretch for Mississippi State in these next five games. But this weekend proves that Mississippi State has the potential to host or make it to Omaha. And Mississippi State's RPI has gone into now in the 20s, a very solid RPI for Mississippi State. So even if Mississippi State struggles down the stretch and maybe just gets over 500, the RPI, particularly huge help from this past weekend, will be good enough to get Mississippi State into a regional. But once again, the fact that in these last seven games, the three-game stretch in California, the game against South Alabama, and this past weekend, that Mississippi State was able to pull off five wins, that is gigantic. It once again shows the potential of this team, and all Mississippi State has to do is just to keep it up. So a three-game sweep, weekend sweep of Oregon, 10-4, 10-4, 9-3, and 5-2 are the final scores. A terrific weekend for Mississippi State, and it's going to get even more difficult. I mentioned Vanderbilt, but we have two more opponents coming into Starkville in the Dooney Noble Field that I'll talk about. Eastern Kentucky, the Colonels of Eastern Kentucky on Tuesday, and I'm not sure what Oral Roberts' mascot is. The Golden Eagles, of Oral Roberts. So let's talk about Eastern Kentucky, their chronologically first opponent, 7-8 on the year. Eastern Kentucky, their record may not show it, but they're not that terrible of a team. Looking at their schedule, they have some pretty quality opponents. They do have a common opponent. They played South Dakota State, so did Mississippi State. Mississippi State played South Dakota State in the first weekend of the year. Like Mississippi State, Eastern Kentucky defeated the Jackrabbits twice, defeating them 10-1 in Game 1, 6-4 in Game 2. Eastern Kentucky, just going over their schedule, lost 2 out of 3 to Lipscomb, played Louisville, got beat pretty badly 14-2, beat VCU 12-2, lost to UNC Wilmington 10-7, I mentioned South Dakota State, took 3 games from Maryland Eastern Shore, including a 20-run performance on the 5th of March, and then just recently got swept by Southeast Missouri State. And now they're traveling to Starkville. Looking at their schedule, I'm not going to say that they're terrible. Looking at their stats, they're best at the plate. This is a team that is 24th in the country in home runs with 24, and 35th in scoring, averaging 7.6 runs per game. A couple of individual players. Kyle Nolan is currently third in the country with 7 home runs, and Mandy Alvarez is another good hitter with a .386 average and 4 home runs on the year. Their projected starter coming into this game, according to Eastern Kentucky's game notes, is Chris Cervantes. Don't know if that's right or not. Chris Cervantes, I guess, is how I pronounce that. Currently not looking very good statistically, currently with an 8.10 ERA and 3.1 innings pitched and only 2 strikeouts. So I guess that this pitcher is maybe as a bit of a reliever. He's played in 2 games this year, has not started one. So it looks like this will be his first start of the year for Chris Cervantes, or Cervantes, or however you pronounce it. According to the Eastern Kentucky game notes, Connor Pilkington, the freshman, if this is the case, I don't know if he is the starter, but according to the Eastern Kentucky game notes, he is the projected starter, getting his first start of the year. So it could be a bit of pressure on Connor Pilkington, his only a freshman in his first start against a team that looks like is pretty good at the plate. Assuming from past performances, Mississippi State may go with another deep pitching rotation. The thing is, since we have another game on Wednesday, may not be using as many pitchers as past midweek games, maybe using 4, 5, or 6, probably more accurate. But similar, I think Ethan made the point after the South Alabama game that they're probably getting some of these bullpen guys some experience before a quality opponent in Oregon. Well, we play a really quality opponent in Vanderbilt coming up this weekend after these two games. But just prediction, I think it'll be a bit high scoring, but Eastern Kentucky, they're okay, but they're not fantastic. They're not bad, but they're not good. Mississippi State should get a win. And I'll predict something along the lines of maybe, I'll say 9-4, Mississippi State defeats Eastern Kentucky. And then Oral Roberts comes in on Wednesday. Oral Roberts actually this is the definition of a not bad non-conference team. This is a team that's currently 7-7 on the year. Two losses to Indiana State, who looking at their schedule is not bad, or whatever, Wichita State usually has a pretty quality, I'm not going to say very quality, a pretty quality baseball program. 2 out of 3 against Dallas Baptist, the school that Wes Johnson came from. A loss to Missouri State, who, if you remember, made it to the Super Regional a year ago against Arkansas. Won 3 of 4 against Arkansas Little Rock. Didn't get to play against Texas Tech, and then this past weekend played a 3-game series at Auburn, and they picked up a win in that series on Friday against Auburn's ace. So obviously Oral Roberts is not that bad of a team. Last year won the Summit League, predicted in the preseason to win it again this year. 2 straight appearances in the NCAA tournament. But according to their game notes, their starting pitcher will be to be announced, and they didn't mention Mississippi State's starting pitcher either. But just looking at the stats of some of these pitchers, it doesn't look like they are a great pitching squad. They have a 5.31 team ERA and they are giving up an average of 6.5 runs per game. This is not that in-depth of a preview. I'm just saying that Oral Roberts is not that bad of a team. And just talking about their pitcher, I don't know who's going to be their starting pitcher, I can't really point any of them in. They're playing 2 games this weekend on Tuesday against Jacksonville State, and they're going to be starting their normal midweek pitcher in that one. So I can't really tell who is going to be starting in this one just from looking at the stats and past performances. But this, just after just glossing over all that, this is a test. I mean, this is no easy game for Mississippi State. Once again, Oral Roberts they've made it to the NCAA tournament the last 2 years, picked up a game against Auburn, beat quality opponents like Wichita State, won a game against Auburn, and played a good opponent in Missouri State. So this is not going to be easy for Mississippi State. With that being said, the Bulldogs should win. This is similar to South Alabama. South Alabama is a pretty good non-conference opponent, and if we can win, this would be a really good win for the Bulldogs. I'll predict something along the lines of Mississippi State 6, Oral Roberts 3, Mississippi State 6, Oral Roberts 3. So just a prediction, Mississippi State goes 2-0 this week. We certainly hope so. It should go 2-0 this week. I'll be a little bit concerned going into Vandy if we lose one or two of these games, particularly 2 if we lose one of these games. But really the biggest thing about this week is just gaining confidence. If we can win these 2, that means Mississippi State will be riding a 6-game winning streak going into Vanderbilt. You know all about Vanderbilt. Although they lost Carson Fulmer and Dansby Swanson from a year ago, guess what? They're still Vanderbilt. And we're going to talk about that when, I'm guessing Ethan will come back on Thursday's show. We'll preview that weekend, that series. But this week, these 2 games against the Colonels and the Golden Eagles are all about just gaining confidence and making sure that this team has a lot of momentum, because if they can pick up 2 wins, they will have all the momentum in the world going in to Nashville. So that's pretty much that. Let's get to questions. We have some questions from our man, Mr. Vanderlip. So Mr. Vanderlip, the large dog trademark at KT Vanderlip on Twitter. Number 1, how many people got hurt jumping back on the baseball bandwagon? Plenty, including me. I broke my leg. I'm kidding. Number 2, what do you think of the women's basketball's placement in the bracket? So I'm glad you mentioned this. The women's basketball team will be hosting a regional, hosting the first and second round games, Friday the 18th, I believe is the date, and Sunday the 20th. Not originally supposed to, because Mississippi State's the 5 seed, and Michigan State is a 4 seed coming into Starkville. Apparently there is another thing happening in Michigan State Arena that was previously scheduled that is restricting the Spartans from hosting their first and second round games. You know what? That's just fantastic, because Mississippi State will be hosting the first and second round, and on that part of it, it's fantastic. Guess who we would have to play if, let's say, we get past the first and second round? We would have to deal with UConn in the Sweet 16. So that part of it's not good. But when Ethan comes back on Thursday, we'll talk about, we'll go more in depth into women's basketball. When he comes back on Thursday. And number three, and this is a little sketch that he created, I like, of a dude with a tattoo that says hashtag very quality on his forehead. He says, if this is the fourth worst place for a tattoo, where the heck are the top three? One, anywhere on the cheek. I think the cheek would be worse than the forehead, because the one thing is, you could cover your forehead with hair. If you can't do that due to, like, some receding hairline or something, you can get a wig. You can cover your forehead. You can't cover your cheek with anything. Number two, any of your private areas? That would just be terrible. And I don't really know a fourth, or I don't really know a third, so let's put forehead as the third worst spot to put a tattoo. And it looks like he has another question. Yeah, so this is a picture of some women's basketball players. Looks like Victoria Vivian's, Morgan William, and Blair Schaefer at the selection show party thing. And he tweets, and it's a picture that looks like all three of them have some boots on their legs, some casts. And he says, does this give breaking a boot off in someone a whole new meaning? I've never heard that phrase before. Maybe Ethan knows the phrase. Ask Ethan, like on Twitter or something, because he'll probably know it better than I do. But I'll just say yes. I don't know. But anyways, that'll do it for this episode of From the Podcast Tolls. It was definitely a shorter show, because I'm the only one here. But it'll be longer and probably more quality once Ethan comes back. But that will do it for this episode of For Whom the Podcast Tolls on Thursday. We'll talk about Mississippi State's baseball's 2 games against Eastern Kentucky and Oral Roberts. We'll preview the upcoming Vanderbilt series. We'll talk women's basketball, and I'm sure there'll be some softball talk from Ethan when we get back. But until then, thank you all for listening, and be sure to remember to be hashtag very quality.